your article on Freddie Galvis. Told us a lot about Freddie Galvis, but it also raised some questions, and it got me thinking, Shai, that maybe we need to think back to sort of what one of the original templates was for Lourdes Gurriel Jr., and you talk about it in your article, was that he was a guy who was going to be able to play multiple positions, and maybe he's not the everyday shortstop in this team in spring training.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think if Lourdes Gurriel Jr. was going to be seriously considered as an everyday shortstop, the Blue Jays don't go out and get Freddie Galvis, because, you know, if you're going to sign Galvis, chances are that he would have needed some sort of commitment about playing time. And, you know, the Blue Jays have talked a lot about needing to be a better defensive team, and I'm not sure that they could get there with Lourdes Gurriel Jr. at shortstop on an everyday basis, at least based on what we saw last year. So I think it's an intriguing move in a number of different ways, but ultimately it does kind of leave Lourdes Gurriel Jr. without an obvious regular position in the field, and that really does potentially set him up to end up in some sort of super utility type of role.
You know, the other thing too, I think, Shai, is I wonder if it really doesn't bring Devin Travis's status with this team under the microscope a little bit, because, you know, look, Devin is a throwback to those playoff teams, so I think there's this idea that he's sort of part of the furniture, but, you know, I certainly don't have Devin Travis written into my opening day lineup next year. Not yet.
No. Look, one of the things the Blue Jays do want is to have competition all around. And there is a total sense of impermanence about how this roster fits together. You know, at the beginning of the season, if assuming Vladimir Guerrero Jr. opens in the minor leagues, as we all assume that he will, for the Blue Jays to get an extra year of club control out of him, you figure that Brandon Drury's at third base, Galvis is at short, and some combination of Gurriel and Travis at second base. But once Guerrero comes into the mix, then, you know, Brandon Drury is probably a guy who's going to get some priority. You figure he's going to get a lot of playing time at second base. And where does that leave both Gurriel and Travis at that point? So yeah, I think For all the infielders right now, there's going to be a lot of jockeying for position, a lot of fighting over playing time, and anybody who's going to want to get consistent at-bats, they're going to have to perform right out of the gate in order to guarantee that they continue to get them.
Okay, beyond you know, his numbers from last year, you know, beyond the 299 on-base percentage, the 680 OPS, 248 batting average, which, by the way, is just a tick above his career, 13 home runs as well. What does Freddie Galvis bring this team? I mean, the first thing I see, he's a switch hitter, and we know, not to raise the Cleveland Indians all the time, but we know that one of the things Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro have had a hand in is putting together a team that is loaded with switch hitters in Cleveland.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that's certainly part of the attraction, but, you know, Freddie Galvis isn't here for his bat. You know, I mean, he's here because he's going to give them, or at least traditionally over the course of his career, has given teams plus defense up the middle, and he's got the potential to take away hits. And, you know, the Blue Jays not only didn't take away hits for the most part defensively last year, you know, they didn't make some of the plays that they should make. And, you know, if you want to keep your prime starters from carrying ERAs around 5, you know, having guys who can gobble up ground balls up the middle is a good way to help them along in that process. So I think that's really what Freddie Galvis brings to the table. Hits his glove. He's known as a great clubhouse presence. He's known as he's well respected with Latin players. So there are a lot of intangibles that come along with him too. But the most likely impact that he's most likely way he's going to impact this team is with his glove.
Do you think the Jays are done now adding pieces? My sense is that, yeah, I look at that market and there's still a lot of useful parts out there. Even for a team that finds themselves where the Blue Jays are right now, sort of at the beginning of, you know, whatever the ascendancy of the next growth curve is, however you want to describe it, there's still some useful pieces out there.
I mean, there are for the Blue Jays, but, you know, in general, and this isn't, any sort of bold proclamation, but there's still a ton of offseason left, right? I mean,
fair point, yeah.
Bryce Harper and Manny Machado are still in play. Dallas Keuchel's still out there. There are a lot of big dominoes to fall, and there are going to be some guys who already aren't getting the contracts that they expected, but are going to have to start making decisions, and that's going to create some opportunities for the Blue Jays. And you know, I still think that the trade market has some dominoes in which it could fall as well. So there are a lot of things that can happen. I'd expect at minimum the Blue Jays bring in some relievers on minor league deals, some veteran type of relievers as they try to build out a bullpen and maybe create some assets that they could flip at the trade deadline. I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up with another starter to help bolster what they have in their rotation. And, there's always the possibility of trade as well.
You know, Shai, we haven't had a chance to talk since the Hall of Fame announcements were made last week. I'm not going to mention Scott Rolen. That's an inside joke for those of you who are at Sportsnet Live. But Roy Halladay, no surprise, going into the Hall of Fame. Going in without a Jays logo on his cap, much like Greg Maddux went in without a logo on his cap. I was in Mexico. I was following social media a little bit. I got to tell you, I was stunned at some of the reaction to that decision. First of all, I was saying 3 years ago that there was a chance that Roy Halladay, despite what he was saying, may not, that ultimately the decision may be made that he would go in without a logo on his cap because he did have a certain amount of success with the Philadelphia Phillies. But man, I was surprised at the pushback initially to this announcement. I wasn't surprised by the announcement itself. I guess I just assumed more people were prepared for that possibility. And we may see more of that in the future, especially if players move at a younger age. If Bryce Harper goes to, Bryce Harper goes to the Yankees and wins a couple of World Series and plays there 8 years. You tell me what cap he's going to wear going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. I think the reason that people were so stunned and so upset was that, there were the public proclamations by Doc saying, he flat out said it. I was there in the dugout in summer of 2016 when he flat out said, I'd want to go in with the Blue Jays logo on my cap. So I think, that certainly created an expectation, the fact that he retired as a Blue Jay as well. But to get so angry about it, I mean, even under regular circumstances, a player's wish is a player's wish and a family's wish is a family's wish. But especially that when you consider that this family is still removed, just over a year removed from his terrible loss, to get so angry and to be so vitriolic about it is completely inappropriate and appalling to a certain degree. This is a family's decision. It doesn't take away from what he meant to the Blue Jays, what he accomplished with the Blue Jays, his place in Blue Jays history. And I think the fact that may be difficult for some people to accept, but it is a reality, is that the Phillies ended up becoming a big part of Roy Halladay's life. They were a big part of his career. He experienced some of his greatest successes as a professional with the Phillies, and there was a strong relationship between him and the Phillies after his career, including his employment with them. So. Mm-hmm. I think you factor all those things together, you can certainly see why taking this route makes sense for the family and for Halladay. And for Blue Jays fans, I can understand the emotion as well. But the anger is just completely unnecessary.
Did it catch this front office off guard?
I don't know. To be honest, I haven't spoken with anyone in the front office about it. Clearly, they didn't have the historic connection with Roy Halladay because they weren't here. And, Roy Halladay didn't end up working for the Blue Jays. He ended up working for the Phillies. So there would have been some distance there as a result. So I really don't know how they feel about it. I think if you're in the Blue Jays organization, you would have wanted that that Blue Jays logo on his plaque in Cooperstown. I think that's there's an important element of symbolism there. But ultimately, you know, the accomplishments that he had as a player with the Blue Jays, the association the fan base has with him is what really stands the test of time.